Hi there, this is Elliot here. Welcome to one of the Faith Boosters, which I am most excited about. And I'm excited because this is where I really began to get it. And when I say get it, I mean the whole concept of the Kingdom of God. You are about to discover exactly how to provoke the Kingdom to work and have all things added onto you, guaranteed, okay? This is the Kingdom's operation finally explained in an effective way, which gets results. And I'm going to answer a lot of questions which may be bothering you, you know, questions that you've been wanting to know the answers to, which maybe nobody has been able to answer yet, and give you an answer that left you satisfied, where you're probably left wondering, what do I do next? You know, usually when people want to know about the Kingdom of God, they have questions like, well, why should I seek the kingdom? And what does it actually mean I have to do? I mean, you know, how do we answer this? You know, we've read things that when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all things shall be added unto us. And the question on a lot of minds is, after we have sought after the kingdom and his righteousness, how exactly are all things added unto us? Well, I think it's about time you had answers to those questions, and answers which leave you satisfied, without a question in your mind about what to do next. I would like to share with you how I have come to understand all this, and I think after you've heard this, you will be relieved and understand things and be clear on exactly what to do, and you will actually begin to experience what it's really like to have all things being added onto you. Now, just before I get into it, I'd like to suggest that you follow me reading through the transcript, because it will actually show you where you can locate the scriptures I quote that I don't mention here in the audio, so you'll probably see them in brackets. Now, I have just one question for you. Are you ready? No, really, are you ready? Because this is where all confusion ends and true enlightenment begins. So, without further ado, Jesus said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. My friend, fools seek things. The wise seek wisdom, which is essentially the substance which creates things. The wise get the seeds and plant trees which bear fruit. Fools just want the fruit from trees handed to them, but they don't plant any trees of their own. Therefore, wisdom is what you want to be after, not the substance which wisdom creates. As long as you have wisdom, which is the substance of things, and as long as you keep applying the wisdom you have, you will never be without things. At the moment, I'm just planting seeds in your mind, and we will get back to that in just a moment. Stay with me. In the concept of understanding the kingdom of God and making it work, it would serve you better to understand the kingdom for what a kingdom is. It is effectively a government. Now, governments have rules by which they function, rules by which they are governed, rules by which they govern the kingdom. So to get the highest advantage and increase your probability of success in achieving the outcome you want based on the kingdom principles, it would probably be a wise idea to study the laws by which the kingdom is governed. And by that I mean become aware of what your kingdom laws are. There are many promises made in scripture, but they are governed by law. And in order for the promises God made to be made manifest, there must be obedience to the laws that he has set. Now, his laws are better known as commandments. Now, if you don't know the commandments you need to be obedient to, then you are going to struggle because you're going to be claiming promises without actually experiencing them happen. Because you fail to obey the command required, which provokes the manifestation or the fruition of the promise you're claiming. And your claiming will be a pursuit without fruit. Now, there are only two ways that people fail to obey God's commands. It's either because they know what is required of them, but for whatever reason they aren't in obedience, and that's usually out of fear because people don't obey because they can't see how God will work things out. Or they fail to obey God's command because they don't know what they are. So my suggestion is get in the know and study. Study the laws by which your kingdom is governed, and your kingdom is the kingdom of God. Study the laws of the kingdom of God. Listen, many believers sort of, you know, they read the word briskly, if that. That's not studying. You don't take anything in. You don't get revelation of the scripture or the spiritual substance behind the text. And that's a shame because revelation knowledge is where potent faith is born. You need to meditate the word by going over it over and over again. And we all know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So keep on going over it over and over again until it speaks to you. Connect it with other scriptures. And you know what? More concepts and aspects of that same text are revealed to you. And you just get more and more understanding. And what is happening in actual fact is when you do this, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10 describes, God reveals things unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And I can tell you, it is truly wonderful to experience. It's like what I like to call aha moments. And they happen over and over again. And I hope when you're listening to this, you will have many of those moments. Anyway, studying and meditating the laws by which the government of God governs its kingdom is something you're going to want to start doing if you want to benefit from all the blessings God has promised you. Because in order for the promises to be fulfilled, you must honor the prerequisites. None of the promises are automatic by the mere claiming of the promises. They must be activated. Now, here is how you provoke any law in the kingdom, to manifest God's promises over and over again. Consistent obedience to the law will release God's promised blessings. For example, what do you have to do to have a blessing poured out which you won't even have enough room to receive? You know this one. It's tithe. You tithe 10% of your income. When you do that, God promises that he'll pour out a blessing which you won't have room enough to receive. But what made the blessing come? It was your obedience, right? Listen, you can't get the benefit without obedience. Only those who are willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. So you see now, if you don't seek the kingdom first, you won't know what on earth you're supposed to be obedient to. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek first. That's the first step. The reason why Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom," is because the very first thing you need to know is what you're supposed to do. You need to know what to do. What are you supposed to be in obedience to? Then when you've done that, the second step is to seek his righteousness. Now, seeking his righteousness means to be in right standing with the laws by which the king governs his system. That's the second step. The third step, you don't even have to do. You just do the first two, and God sees to it that the laws his word set in place add all things to you. And you can trust all things will be added unto you, because God said in Isaiah 11:55, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing to where I sent it." So you don't need to worry about anything God said and whether or not you'll see it come to pass when you're in obedience to what he has commanded. So let me repeat. If you want all things added unto you, take the first step. Seek first the kingdom so you know what God requires of you, so you can make sure that your actions correspond with his law. And when you seek, you will find. And when you do that, make sure you do and be consistent at doing. Get excited, because this is so simple. This is all you have to do. Now, I'll grant you this. It may not always be easy, but the benefit of going down the route are so wonderful, and in the long run are so much better for you. It will soon become your way of life to naturally want to please God and be in obedience to his laws, not just because of the benefits, but because of the love you experience with God as a result. Now, I want to take time here to go into the benefits of seeking. The kingdom is governed by laws, and the laws were set in place by wisdom. So make sure you seek wisdom. That's biblical principles. And you will find them. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So do some research. Ask God to reveal things to you by his Spirit, and he will. That in itself is a law, and your part is to ask and seek, and his wisdom will come. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. See what Proverbs chapter 8 has to say about the benefits of seeking wisdom. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I might cause those that love me to inherit substance. You remember what I was saying about the wise that sow seeds, and that they'll never be without things. And it says here, I will cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me, for whoso finds me finds life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Now that you see the benefits of seeking, the benefits of this seeking life, the benefits of seeking wisdom, seek and line yourself up with what you learn. Always apply the following two supreme principles to whatever you learn from the kingdom of God. Supreme principle number one is never lose faith in the teachings you're enlightened with. There will be times when instructions don't make sense, but inevitably bring the greatest reward when obeyed. People are destroyed for a disregard of knowledge or a lack of knowledge. Lack and disregard of knowledge are as bad as each other, because ultimately both mean knowledge will be without implementation. See, knowing the truth shall set you free, but knowing without corresponding action or obedience does not get results. When you come into alignment with what the word says, the word works. Consistent obedience and unwavering faith are the keys to manifestation of any word or promise spoken by the lips of God. Which brings me to supreme principle number 2. Never live disconcordant to God's teachings of wisdom. Obedience is key, and consistency with that obedience is the prerequisite for the principle to take effect. Development of faith is much like the development of muscles. You can't go to the gym once. You know this. You can't go to the gym once and expect to see lasting change. Your muscles may display a temporary illusion of somebody that diligently works out, but, you know, just after a few hours, the muscles return back to their normal state. However, with consistency, making exercise a way of life, the elasticity in the muscles begins to stick after a while. Anytime you look at your body in the mirror, with consistent effort, the change to your muscles are on permanent display. However, even when you have obtained your ideal body, it is still necessary to keep those muscles maintained with exercise. Otherwise, they'll just return to their former weakness. My point here is that with consistent obedience and unwavering faith applied to the word of God, which govern his government, the kingdom which you seek, it is impossible for what he promised not to manifest. This is probably partly why God made a commandment not to envy or covet your neighbor's possessions, because anything they have, you can acquire applying the principles of the kingdom. As I mentioned earlier, the principles of the kingdom can be better described as the laws of the government of God. Now, laws, if you know anything about laws, are no respecter of persons. You know, and God is not withholding any good thing from them that love him. He said, if you love him, you will keep his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. The righteous are those who received righteousness by the graciousness of God, by believing that he made them so. And then, if they wish to benefit from the blessings of the covenant that he made with them, their job is to come in alignment with the word of God, that is right standing with God. And all things will be added unto them, and no good thing will be withheld from those walking uprightly with his commandments. It is all to do with obedience. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, since righteousness is a gift, you did nothing to earn it. But there is a difference between being made righteous by the grace and being in right standing with God. The only thing you do to be righteous is accept God's gracious gift. When you do, you are classed as righteous because you belong to a family who accepted the same gift, and they are also called righteous. But being made righteousness and actually being in right standing with the word are not the same thing. But being made righteous is not what you've done. It's not what you do. Righteousness is now your nature as a new creature. But being in right standing is your part to do. That is the place where effort is required. But it's not what you do to be in right standing with the word that actually makes you righteous. But staying in right standing with the word is what righteous people are supposed to do. Do you follow? Now, there are many people in the world who may do the righteous things righteous people are supposed to do. They are in right standing with God's laws, but they haven't accepted the gift of righteousness. So they still aren't righteous. Righteousness is not by works, it's a gift. Attempts to be righteous without accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior is a fruitless pursuit. Jesus has not come inside them, and they don't have his nature or his blood covering them. So God just sees an unrighteous, filthy soul behaving well. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. That's why it's so sad to see generous, loving, humble people die that didn't make Jesus the Lord of their life. Jesus can't save them because of their good works. Their righteousness is filthy rags. We just read that. There is only one way to heaven, and accepting Jesus as your Savior is that way. If you read Galatians chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4 in your own time for more details, then you'll see more about that. So, now, you see the difference between righteousness, the God-given nature received as a gift, and being in right standing with the laws. I want you to notice something Jesus said in Matthew 6. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Jesus was talking to people who were in the kingdom already about what those who are not in the kingdom do due to no knowledge of a better way. However, those in the kingdom are righteous by grace. So it's clear then that when Jesus went on to say, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." The righteousness Jesus was talking about in this context was to do with those who have been made righteous by grace, coming into right standing with God's word and God's way of doing things. I want you to also notice Jesus said not only seek the kingdom, but seek his righteousness. Why would Jesus say seek his righteousness? Why not say seek righteousness? He specifically said his righteousness. It's because his righteous are supposed to be in right standing with his righteousness. Or simply put, his righteous are to be in right standing with his way of doing things. The way he set his kingdom to operate. And as a consequence of your seeking to find what the commands or laws of the king are, and making the decision to come in right standing with them, you are operating in his way of doing things. And by his law, all these things shall be added unto you inevitably. It is impossible for his word to return to him void without manifesting his blessing that he said your obedience would make you entitled to. Are you getting this? Now, here's what you need to understand. God has already done everything he is going to do. He already gave us everything pertaining to life. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath, that's past tense, hath given, past tense, unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. By this, God means he has set laws, and if you want things to go well with you, it is up to you to line up with his way of doing things. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19 says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. It's interesting. See, even if you were too silly to make the right decision, he gave you the right suggestion. Choose life. Moving on. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 and 2 says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. There's observing to do again. According to all that is written therein, for then thou, it's only then, you shall make thy way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. and then thou shalt have good success. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, when you are in right standing with God's right way of doing things, all things will be added unto you. God has done his part. Now you do yours. He has explained his ways, and his thoughts are higher than ours. And he promised he will reveal his ways and thoughts to us. When those ways are revealed, we must take the responsibility to get in line with them, and we will see his word made manifest in our lives. Boy, this is good stuff, I'm telling you. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Wow. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The Amplified Bible says, for being ignorant of the righteousness that God ascribes, which makes one acceptable to him in word, thought, and deed, and seeking to establish a righteousness, a means of salvation, of their own, they did not obey or submit themselves to God's righteousness. So when you're trying to do your own thing, all things won't be added onto you. That's not seeking the kingdom first and his righteousness first. And see, you're trying to do it on your own. See, this is why you need to be clued up. You know, the word says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. Why? Lest he fall. Be careful if you're one of those people who has this, you know, I know that already, you know, I know it all attitude sort of thing. You know, there may be something you don't know, and you probably don't. You know, so probably something which you thought you understood, and subsequently you suffer an unnecessary setback which could have been avoided had you been more willing to practice seeking and learning and obeying. You know, just hearing and speaking about the will and principles of God and his kingdom aren't enough to have effect. Jesus said there are only benefits for those who are doing the will. He said in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Then in verse 24 of the same chapter, he went on to say, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Look at what James chapter 1 verse 25 says. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Allow me to give you my understanding of this, if you don't mind. Whoever looks unto the principles of the perfect law of freedom, and is an obedient, continuous doer of the required correspondent action to the perfect law, this person's actions will be blessed with the manifestation of whatever the word promise. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When you show God you love him by obeying his laws, you are eligible to eat the good of the land. When you are in right standing with God, all things will be added onto you, and no good thing will be withheld from those who are walking uprightly to his commandments. Matthew chapter 6, 33 and Psalms 84, 11 are essentially saying the same thing. Matthew 6, 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Psalms 84, 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 37, 4 also says exactly the same thing. It says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalm 34:10 makes a promise about those that seek, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You shall not want for any good thing. God gives you the desires of your heart when you delight yourself in Him. Well, what does that mean? How do you do that? How do you delight yourself in God? Well, if you love Him, you're delighting in Him. He said, if you love Him, the evidence of that is you keeping His commandments. He made love, which is delighting in Him, a commandment because He wants to. He wants to give you the desires of your heart because they are His desires for you. God very intelligently made love for Him in your heart attached to the strong desire to be in obedience to His commandments. In other words, love for Him, delight for Him means you will be in obedience with His commandments, which put you in alignment with the principles of His kingdom. Alignment with any of His laws forces the law to reciprocate your obedience with the manifested promises, the manifested benefit God promises. God can only give you the desires of your heart by your obedience to His laws. As we discussed earlier, love and law are all connected. It's no wonder God told us that faith worketh by love. And I'll show you later where all the law of God are unable to operate independent of the law of love. Love is the foundation to everything functioning in the kingdom. Because God is love. It's the kingdom of love. Seek ye first the kingdom of love and right standing with love, and all these things will be added unto you. So walk in love. This is why God said, do all things as unto God. Do all things as unto love. You know, the word says that when you're walking in love, you fulfilled all the law. And if you're wondering why things may not be functioning as though they should, always ask yourself, am I in obedience just to be in obedience for the sake of it, or for the sake benefiting myself, or because I'm doing it out of love? You see, love does things without any selfish motive. Love operates for the benefit of other people. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. God's commandments really aren't grievous, not when you love Him, and they're really for your benefit, so God can get what you want to you. God rewards your love walk. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us. Whatever you attend to in life, this is a priority and the area of life you should aim to continuously improve. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now the proof that you love God and the degree with which you love Him is how obedient you are to His commandments, which you are aware of. It shows you are more interested in delighting God than you satisfying yourself. When you choose to delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. He said, if you obey me, keep my commandments. And this is part of what presenting yourself as a living sacrifice is all about. And this is your reasonable service. In everything you do, obey His commandments. This is proof that you love Him. Now, loving God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, that's the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. That's Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40. None of the laws by which the kingdom is governed work when love is absent from the equation, because love is being in harmony with the laws, and it makes it actually work and produce. Galatians 5:6 says, but faith worketh by love. Fear stops faith, and you need unwavering faith to operate principles of the kingdom. Just see James chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. If you're fearful, it's because your love isn't strong enough. Love helps because perfected love casts out fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. When you love God with all your heart, as He recommends, you're loyal to Him. You're more concerned about honoring His word than anything else, because you're so in love. and you just want to do right by him. You aren't even concerned about, you know, what man can do to you, or, you know, what circumstance will come against you if you obey him. And, you know, love will make you do that. Love will make you run into a highway, walk into a burning building. You know, you'll take your chances attacking a wild animal when someone you love is in danger. Well, we should be the same way to honor God's word. Even to the point where you would rather burn alive than to go contrary to what God says. And only love can accomplish that. Perfected love casts out fear. Because when God is with you, no man or circumstance can prevail against you. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Those who love God are those obeying his commandments." Look at what Psalm 112 has to say about the person whose first and foremost interests are in pleasing God. "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man sheweth favor, and he lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he has given unto the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away, the desire of the wicked shall perish." You know, Jesus spent 40 days teaching on the kingdom of God and how it operates. Why? So that his prayer, which he taught us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth and it is in heaven," will come to pass. He spent 40 days. I'm going to show you. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. "Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." We seek the kingdom first because Jesus advised us to, but he said that for a reason. Everything starts first with the word of God. The kingdom is based on his word. The word is how God makes this planet. That's how he made the planet. He spoke words. His word set laws in place, and they are how this universe is governed. "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." So we seek the kingdom first because when you learn the principles, you can work with the laws and harness them to your advantage. Don't just hear. Do. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Although righteousness can't be earned because it's a gift given by grace and only received by faith, we still have the responsibility to obey the commandments if we love him. So, work towards being in right standing with God. Find out what God requires of you, what he wants you to do and what he doesn't want you to do. And when you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added onto you by law. If you walk off the top of a building, by law, irrespective of who you are, you will be plummeting towards the ground. If you are walking in righteousness, doing what God says by law, all the things God promised will be added onto you. Whichever area of life that God has set a law for, come in right standing with it, and all the things he said will happen will be added. If you're in right standing with the laws of health, by law, health and well-being, vitality and long life will be added onto you regardless of who you are and where you are. Just come in right standing with the laws. All the laws you can. And you know, in loving, if you do this in loving worship to God, you will see more and more benefits added onto you. That's a promise. Now, I have one final point. I just wanted to add that Matthew chapter 6, 33 doesn't exempt you from working. I know some people don't want to hear that. Many people think that it means you aren't meant to work to acquire something. But that can't be true because faith without work is dead. James 26 said, in fact, it says works, which means plural. Many works will be required to accomplish the manifestation of faith, of what faith believes. Faith without works won't work. Matthew chapter 6, 33 said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To be in right standing with the principles you sought and found takes work. Working to be in right standing with God's principles takes work. It takes diligence, discipline, integrity. The list goes on. You know it. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and James chapter 2, 26 combined together means while claiming a promise by faith, work towards things, seeking to line yourself up with the principles of the kingdom and the things which the word promises will come. You may remember in Mark chapter 4, the parable that says the kingdom of God is as if a man casts seed into the ground. Well, although the man casts seed and is relying on the word to produce for him, he still works going about his daily routine. Yes, the seed does a lot of work on its own, but you still have to do your work. You still have your work to do. Watch what it says. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. That's your work. And should sleep and rise night and day. That means you're going about your daily business. And the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle. That's your work again. Because the harvest is come. My friend, nobody ever got anywhere just reading the word and sitting on it. The people that see results get to work to give God something to bless. And they, the work to be in right standing with God, prosper. You remember what Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 to 2 says. And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So, what you want to do is take time to get knowledge and spend time in it and make sure you're obedient to it. Work to come into perfect alignment with the laws. Actively look through the word for what you want to benefit from. And then simply apply it. Obey it. No matter what, stay consistent without wavering in your faith. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. After ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. See, laws work consistently no matter what. It doesn't matter who or what it is that is applying the law. You know, gravity doesn't care whether you're rich, poor, fat, slim or ugly. It doesn't even care if you're educated. It doesn't care if you've never spent a day in school. It doesn't care. It doesn't care if you're a cat. It only cares if you are lighter than air. If you are heavier than air, then the law of gravity dictates you are pulled toward the center of the earth. Unless you apply a law called the law of lift, which supersedes gravity, which makes objects heavier than air defy gravity. But that's because the object heavier than air is, in actual fact, now obedient to the law of lift, so it will lift up. The law of sickness, for example, is in operation. But if you comply with the laws governing health, well, you'll become healthy. Whichever laws you are in obedience to affect the circumstances you manifest in your life. Apply this to any law in the Bible. If it says, do this and this will happen, do it and watch it come to pass. The same way gravity works all the time, the laws of the kingdom of God work all the time. In fact, natural law and spiritual laws work the same way because they were both set in place by the same person. If you are in obedience to the laws of sin, contradicting those of the kingdom, expect manifestation from your actions. Unless you are in complete obedience to the law of the kingdom, obeying no other law, then you're going to struggle with manifestation. So, since law is no respecter of persons, I would like to add a word of warning. Don't make the mistake of being so arrogant to think that the word won't work for you. To say that means you're above the law. And since God made the laws, to say that would mean you're above God, you know, and I'm sure you're intelligent enough to know better than that. Applying a law and thinking it won't work for you when every person in mankind who's done it before you has had it work for them is kind of like being in a situation where you're about to jump off a diving board. You've seen people jumping off and all without exception have gone down into the water, and yet you con yourself into thinking that when you jump off that board, I don't think gravity's gonna work for me. I think I'm gonna end up floating off into space somewhere and get stuck suspended in the air. Come on. That's ridiculous. You know full well you're going down. Well, the same applies to spiritual principles. Just do whatever the word says and trust it will come to pass. You have God's word. He said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth," you can finish it off, "that shall he also reap." James chapter 1 verse 22 and 24 said, it has some brilliant advice to follow. If you want to see God's word work for you, check this out. It says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." That's for those thinking that what they heard is going to work by just hearing it. "For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Now, they didn't have mirrors in those days, but if they did, James would have said mirror. Anyway, he said, "For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." So the man looked in the mirror and forgot what he looked like. If you read the word and don't do it, it's almost like you didn't even read it at all. It has no significance until you do it. The bottom line, quite simply here, is find the word, do the word, and stay in faith, and you automatically qualify to reap the benefits. See, life is a reflection of our actions. What we get out of life is what we put into it. If another man is blessed, don't think about what he has. Think about what he gave or what he did to have that. You need to give and do the same. Often we want what others have, but we aren't willing to do what they did to get it. You need to understand that there's a price tag for everything, and if you want what somebody else's has, you've got to prepare to pay the price. And when it comes to crunch time, you need to learn how to pay it. It's just like when you go to a shop. When you are prepared to pay the price, you can have whatever you want that's in the stock. But the shop owner will only exchange it for the price they feel is worthy of the particular item on sale. While you're putting in the effort to make for a better life, instead of waiting to be happy, when you get what you want, learn to be happy with what you have already. See, your circumstances will line up with the seeds you've sown. God's word assures you of that. The life you have now is a direct result of your past thoughts and actions. So your thoughts and actions today will determine the circumstances you live with tomorrow. So stay consistent with the thoughts and actions which correspond with the life and circumstances you want to have until you get the results you want. You've sown the necessary seeds, you're paying the required price on the price tag, now wait for the harvest. Eventually the seeds you have sown today will display a visible harvest. Circumstances have no choice but to respond to the laws you are in obedience to. They are going to change. So remember, in Psalm 37:25, David said, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken." He was saying that based on our understanding of righteousness, he had never seen those in right standing with the principles of the word of God being forsaken. Ever. He'd never seen it. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So keep looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. Find the word, do the word, stay in faith, reap the benefits. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, or the Word. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He who hungers and thirsts after righteousness will be filled. In other words, the person who hungers and thirsts to be in right standing with God's commandments will be blessed with the promise he made for obeying him. This is Elliot Odell of Kingdom Advancement International. I'll see ya.